Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Beth Ann.
Good morning.
100 days or give or take till the election and the battle is joined, yeah?
Well, this is true, and we're going to talk more about that this morning at a little bit different time in the program.
Yeah.
But you know that with both political party conventions now over, there are now, as you say, 2 months before the first presidential debate, 3 months before the election. Opinion polls show that Hillary Clinton bounced back into the lead after the Democratic convention, while Donald Trump battles the parents of a war hero and struggles with the modern history of Ukraine. Politics is ever on the mind of news analyst Neil Conan, and he joins us now, as he does most Tuesdays, from his Macnut farm on the Big Island. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be in the lead for once.
Well, nice to have you here. Now, let's rewind a little bit back to Philadelphia and the Democratic convention. It came off almost flawlessly, and those cries of dissent from Bernie Sanders supporters were, at the end, at least shouted down. We heard a series of really polished speeches. Was all this enough to boost Hillary Clinton?
As you suggested, the first set of poll numbers say it was. Let's rewind even further back. Secretary Clinton was up about 6 or 7 points back in June. That started to tumble after FBI Director James Comey's stinging remarks about her carelessness with her emails as Secretary of State. By the end of the Republican convention, Donald Trump had pulled even, maybe even ahead in some polls. Clinton seems to have had a solid bounce, though, up now between 3 and 9 points. Most experts want to wait a couple of 3 weeks before they see the numbers as being more reliable, though.
So there was no reason not to expect a post-convention bounce. That usually happens, as you reminded us a few weeks ago. And as we saw last week, the Democrats produced quite a spectacle.
Yes, indeed, and quite a comparison to the shambles the previous week in Cleveland. All the party's heavyweights spoke of Bill Clinton, of course, trying to humanize his wife. Both the president and the vice president, very good speeches, delegitimizing Donald Trump in, I think, extraordinary language. The candidate herself did okay, I think. She's never going to be the speaker Barack Obama is, but she was confident. You know, the most important part of an acceptance speech is to sell yourself as a credible president, to convince the audience that you can assume the role of commander-in-chief, and I think she pulled that off.
The speech, though, that everyone is still talking about, one that was all over social media, was from the father of Army Captain Khan, the Muslim American soldier killed in Iraq.
And Donald Trump can't stop talking about it either. It's hard to believe that everybody has seen that speech by now, but if you missed it, Kaiser Khan excoriated Trump's anti-Muslim immigration policy. He said his family would never have been allowed into the country under that policy. He and his wife stood in front of a picture of their son in uniform. He said Trump had sacrificed nothing, knew nothing about liberty and equal protection under the law, and reached into his pocket and offered to lend Trump his copy of the Constitution. It was devastating.
Some viewers might have missed that because, you know, for example, Fox News didn't carry it. But as you mentioned, Donald Trump can't seem to let go. He said that Kaiser Khan had no right to attack him. He said that he and his wife had not been allowed to speak, and when he finally got around to calling their son a hero, he still tried to link that to terrorism.
And, you know, despicably, some of his allies, like Roger Stone, are smearing the Khan family as secret agents of the Muslim Brotherhood, for which there is no evidence whatsoever.
All of this, though, is really keeping this story alive.
You know, and just contrast that with what Secretary Clinton said after the emotional speech at the Republican convention when Patricia Smith said she blamed Clinton personally for the death of her son, Sean, in Benghazi. Secretary Clinton didn't argue with her on the facts, which she could have. She just empathized with her heartbreak and honored her son. And if you remember, that's exactly what President Bush did when he had to deal with Cindy Sheehan in the Iraq War. You just don't attack the families of dead soldiers, not for any number of reasons, but high on that list is that it's terrible politics.
Yet again, though, this is one of those moments that has to raise questions for Speaker Paul Ryan, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, other Republican officials. And we've seen a lot of statements of sympathy for the Khan, some denunciations of the candidate, but so far, they all still say they support him.
One exception, Richard Hanna, a retiring congressman for upstate New York. And, you know, this incident with the Khans was, I don't think this had happened last week when we talked. That was after Trump encouraged the Russians to find the missing emails. In other words, invited a foreign power to hack the U.S. government.
He said, though, that he was just being sarcastic.
Well, he got around to that explanation after 3 days. Just joking, folks.
Okay, but it goes to another unforced error, the one when Trump told George Stephanopoulos on ABC this past Sunday that under President Trump, Russia would never go into Ukraine, even though Russia annexed part of Ukraine a couple of years ago, the Crimea, and it continues to wage a low-level war in eastern Ukraine.
And at the same time, he's trying to sound tough on Russia on ABC. At his rallies, he continues to praise Putin. He says it would be much better for us to have good relations with Russia and continues to say NATO is obsolete, which, as you can imagine, causes considerable anxiety in Europe and a lot of heartburn for the vast majority of Republican foreign policy types who believe no such thing.
I want to go back to something you said a little earlier, though, about the effort by President Obama and other speakers at the DNC to delegitimize Donald Trump. Isn't that what the Republicans are also trying to do?
Yes. That comes capsulized in the crooked Hillary nickname and the lock her up chant. President Obama, Vice President Biden, and Clinton herself all said this election is not about standard politics. It's not about Republican and Democrat, not about left and right, but about a dangerous demagogue, in contrast to, if you remember Michael Bloomberg's memorable phrase, a candidate who's competent and sane. President Obama said it again today at the joint news conference at the White House with Prime Minister Lee of Singapore. And at the convention, remember, he said Trump wasn't conservative, he wasn't a Republican. Today he called on Republicans to repudiate him. Now, all of this attack line may ring true with some independents and with some Republicans. On the other hand, crooked Hillary may sway some Democrats, but it also means that whoever wins this election is going to take office delegitimized in the eyes of a considerable fraction of the country. A lot of Republicans never did accept legitimacy of Barack Obama, and as we saw, it made governing more difficult. But even more importantly, and into yet another presidential term, this is corrosive. It eats away at democracy, at our faith in democracy.
That's a troubling assessment. Now, before we let you go, though, I want to ask you about one more thing. As I mentioned at the top, it's 2 months to the presidential debate. Isn't his campaign raising questions about all that?
Yes, indeed. Now, the first two presidential debates are scheduled for nights when NFL football games are also on TV. Now, the commission that runs the debates is nonpartisan. They issued this schedule back in January, so it shouldn't come as any surprise at this point. But Trump says, he suspects that this committee's in cahoots with the Democrats, the same way the DNC tipped the scales for Clinton back in the primaries. And it's another example, he says, of how the system is rigged against him. And, of course, that makes some Democrats wonder whether he just wants to duck a one-on-one debate with Hillary Clinton, which is the format that Secretary Clinton does pretty well in.
You said one-on-one debate. What about the Libertarian Party and the Green Party? Seems to be getting a lot more attention this year.
They are, but the debate commission sets a threshold of 15% support in major polls. If you remember all the way back to 1992, that's how Ross Perot got on the stage with H.W. Bush and with Bill Clinton. Now, Jill Stein of the Green Party is polling at about 2% right at the moment. Gary Johnson, who's the Libertarian candidate, is polling about 9 or 10%. Now, that is better than Libertarians have done in the past, better than Gary Johnson himself did 4 years ago. But neither of these parties has much money, so they're going to have difficulty running ads on TVs. And neither of these parties has the kind of structure to mount a serious challenge, at least not right now.
All right. Well, until next week, we're going to leave it there.
You bet, Beth Ann.
Thanks very much, Neil. News analyst Neil Conan joins us most Tuesdays from the farm. You can also hear his Pacific News Minutes right here on Hawaii Public Radio.